I don't know how much we're going to be turning tonight and looking at Scripture. I don't know exactly how it's going to go. I don't have anything planned out. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm going to try and get through all these points. I just got index cards.
Amen.
I'm going to do my best.
Amen. Come on, brother.
And, well, this is the season that the world celebrates Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. And ironically enough, is the world doesn't understand really the birth of Jesus Christ and doesn't understand many things about him. But with the Bible, we can understand the birth of Jesus Christ. Something that I want to start out, and it's going to be the meat of the message, is the Lord Jesus Christ, he was born king. And that's the thing I want to focus on. He was Savior, and he was King. And he was both. Turn into Luke chapter 2, if you would. And I've had kind of a warped understanding of the birth of Jesus Christ and his life, and that he came as the suffering servant, and he came as the suffering weak Savior, and that's not true at all, because my Bible tells me that he was, and actually, if you could turn to Matthew chapter 2, I apologize. My Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, these wise men said, "Now was Jesus born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" And I've had this warped sense. He was born King of the Jews. Jesus Christ did not have to come here and accomplish anything to earn that privilege. He is the I Am. If you read in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was Him while He was in that manger. He didn't need to develop, He didn't need to do anything. This is the King of Kings that came here and was born that day. All the prophecies, I began looking at all the prophecies. There are both in the Old Testament about Him being a Savior and dying and bearing the sins of many, like Isaiah chapter 53 and Psalm chapter 22. And last night, I began going through slowly and just writing out on these index cards all the verses just pertaining to His kinghood. And it made me realize that the Lord, He came here to fulfill all the prophecies in the Old Testament. I apologize. I'm kind of doing the message like a little... I don't really have notes. I apologize. I'm going to be all over the place for a little while until I... My point is basically he already had the power to reign in the beginning. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And I suggest, as I began just writing these scriptures out and writing the Word of God slowly with my own hand and just thinking about each word, word by word, as I was writing it, it will change your heart. If you get these words in your heart like that, if you want to remain the same, I suggest that you never sit down in front of the Bible and write out His words slowly on index cards. I suggest you never do it. If you want your heart to be the same, it's just going through it slowly, there's something about it, and something about writing it. And in this baby, this Jesus that we know as Savior, you know what? He could have came and just set up his kingdom then, and it's preached in his church. Daniel 2:44 says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, what shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Revelation 19:12 says, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." Revelation 19:15 says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." And I got the warped view of Jesus Christ when he was born. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." In Luke, it says, "And behold, the angel told Mary, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." This is the same Lord. Why didn't these things happen? The Lord Jesus Christ could have, and will one day fulfill every single prophecy in this Bible concerning himself. And it dawned on me, I guess last night, he was ready to do it then. He didn't have to add anything to it. He had no problem at that time fulfilling Psalm chapter 2 and making the kings of the earth bow down to him. He had no problem fulfilling Psalm chapter 8 and making his name excellent in all the earth. He didn't have a problem doing that. And Psalm 2 says, "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling." And it says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little." So this Psalm chapter 2, he could have done that then. And later on, you're going to see, he chose not to, for a couple reasons that I want to bring up. And in Matthew chapter 2, I believe, are you guys there right now? Is that where I sent you last? In Matthew chapter 2, look what it says in verse 3. "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor," capital G, "that shall rule my people Israel." In verse 3, why was Herod the king, if Jesus was just going to be the suffering Savior, and that's all he was, why was Herod the king and all Jerusalem with him troubled? Herod the king was troubled because his king just showed up. That's why Herod the king was troubled. King of kings. That's why that king was troubled. And that's why he got nervous, because his king showed up. And I'm praying that the Lord will make sense of this all in the end. I'm just going to keep going. One other thing that the Lord was, besides king, in John 1:14 we find out, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that struck a chord with me in that, I'll get to it in a second. Luke 2:10, "And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He was born a Savior, but which is Christ the Lord. Which is Christ the Lord. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. It's written in another place. For he shall save his people from their sins. And the fact that it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, I know he was born. Where is he that is born this day? King of the Jews. But also the Word was made flesh. And all of the Scriptures in the Old Testament. So now Jesus Christ shows up on the earth. It's not only the King, but in a sense, it's the Old Testament Scriptures. It's the Bible with hands, feet, and a head. Shows up on planet Earth. He is the Scriptures, the living Word of God. Revelation 19:13 calls him, and his name is called the Word of God. So, as I began reading through the Scriptures, there's an abundance, and I didn't use a concordance, not at all, and so this is not an exhaustive list, and there must be more. I didn't find them all. That the Lord decided to put this on hold, and I just became overwhelmed with the Lord Jesus and how he put these prophecies of him being a king and reigning and having no end to his kingdom and him willing to lay that aside. And the first thing I would like to... I'm going to read a number of these verses that pertain that the Lord began to speak during his ministry, began to speak to his disciples and his apostles to try and get it through their head that these prophecies in Isaiah 9:6 about the government being on his shoulders and all these things, that these things are not yet. And the Lord continuously told them about Calvary, and they continuously did not understand. And so I just want to read a couple of these, and maybe like at the last minute of the message, I'll actually make some sense out of all this. But I'd like to look at three things that the Lord accomplished in putting this off, that he was born king and that he put it off. But and I'm not going to have you turn to them, I'm just going to read them. From that time, Matthew 16:21 says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Luke 9:44, Jesus says, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. And even the Lord in his own mind, he knew who he was. He knew that he had every right to reign right there and then. He knew he had every right. But he also knew that there were things that needed to be fulfilled, other things that needed to be fulfilled. Jesus said unto them, Matthew 17, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Sorry, the reference there is Matthew 17:22-23. Luke 22:37 says, for I say unto you that it is that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. In Matthew 26:24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, the Lord says. And so, this message, and it's apparent, that was not put together in some type of order and not organized on one sheet of paper. It was just these verses sprawled out and the Lord just getting them in my own heart and just trusting that they would come out today. But, and so I'm just going to be reading a lot of Scripture to you. The first point that I would like to talk about is why did the Lord lay this right aside, his kingship aside? And I just want to focus on it wasn't time yet, the timing of it. And there's one little word that's going to really stand out to you. And as I continued reading, more and more and more verses were coming to me. And the word is now. And as I read these verses, you're going to keep hearing the word now. And it's important. And the Lord said in Matthew 3:15, He wanted John the Baptist to baptize him. And John the Baptist said, "You're crazy. I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me?" And Jesus told him, "Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." There are all those verses in the Old Testament about him being king. But in John 12:27, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." In Luke 22:49-51, in the garden, his apostles asked him, "Lord, shall we smite with the sword?" And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far. Suffer ye thus far." In another account in Matthew, in Matthew 26:52, when the Lord was asked the same question, look what he says to his apostles. "Then said Jesus unto them, Put up again thy sword into its place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Look what he says to them. "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" He could have done it then, but that's not what his purpose was. That's not the order that things would be fulfilled. If his kingdom's going to have no end and it's going to be an everlasting kingdom and dominion forever and ever, and he also has to die and suffer and justify the world, the suffering needs to come first. It's just the natural order of things. The suffering needs to come first and then to enter into his glory. And the Lord tells his disciples exactly that. Later on we're going to see it after his resurrection. So he says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" He could have, but he didn't. In Psalm 24, it talks about, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord of hosts. "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" He is the Lord of hosts. Of course, they would have came by his side to fight for him right then and there. But he puts it aside. And I'm just blown away by how many times in the scriptures he just continuously tries to get this point across to his apostles. In Matthew 26:54, it says, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" When Jesus was talking to Pilate, what did he say? The word "now" again. And that's John 18:36. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence, but now." And it's important to see that. It's not that his kingdom is not going to happen. It's going to happen. But this was the timing that the Lord had in his mind that was hid to everybody else's eyes. A couple of things that happened to him. I guess the redemption story, we talk about it so much, and it's unbelievable. You know, we're going to get to heaven, we're going to realize we're singing the same old redemption story. And it's amazing. Not too long ago, I got to listen to a message by Brother Ruckman about that. What's the Bible all about? That the Bible is not about a Savior and a cross. The Bible is about a King and His kingdom. And I've heard that before, and then after listening to his message, I understood why it was so. And it is amazing that the Bible is about a King and His kingdom. You know, it begins you know, with a king, and then it ends in Revelation where he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it's about a king, the king, who laid his crown aside and worked us into the mix, and he justified us. But in Mark 15, 30 and 31, the Lord says it again. He says the word now. Look what the chief priests throw in his face and cast in his teeth while he's even hanging on the cross. It says, save thyself and come down from the cross. Mark 15, 30 and 31. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. What do they say? Let Christ, the Lamb of Israel, descend from the cross? They don't say that. They say, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. The key word there is now. He was going to one day descend from the cross and ascend into heaven, without a question. He was coming off that cross and alive again, whether they liked it or not. The key word is now. Let the King of Israel now descend. Descend now from the cross. And it's over and over and over again. Matthew 27:43. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. He trusted in the Lord. Did the Lord deliver him? Looking back, did his father deliver him? Did he not come out of the grave 3 days and three nights later? Is he not seated at the right hand of God until all his enemies put under his feet? He's coming back as king. Revelation 19:11, he's coming back on his horse. It's just that they wanted him to come down now from that cross, and that wasn't time yet because all needed to be fulfilled. And that's going to be my next point, is that all needed to be fulfilled. And that's what I was trying to get at before, that not only was he the king prophesied, but he was the word that became flesh. So he was the Bible incarnate. And all that the prophets have spoken had it to be fulfilled in him. All. So he needed, you know, must needs have suffered. And I'm just going to, you know, just try and read these verses slowly to you. I'm going to go to them fast. It wasn't my intention to have you turn to many of them, but actually, we're going to be in Luke 24 for a while, so you can go there. And this is such a blessing, this chapter. This is after the Lord was risen from the dead, and he begins to explain to his disciples what happened and why it happened. They were all defeated. Their king was crucified. Maybe he really wasn't their king. You know, what happened? And they trusted that it would be him that would deliver Israel and establish the kingdom of heaven. Luke 24:7. Look what the angel says. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And it says, and they remembered his words. Now go to Luke 24:25. And the Lord's reproving them here, and he's telling them. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And that's going to be the key word here, is now before. That was about the timing. And now this is about all, because there were dual prophecies. There was that Isaiah 53, he needed to bear the sins of many. He needed to be the Lamb of God. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. They pierced my hands and my feet. You know, by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. That was necessary, but also it was necessary that you know what, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this is what they were expecting, but the Lord explained to them over and over again, using this word all, that, you know what, I needed to fulfill all the scriptures. I needed to fulfill all of them. So he says unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And what does the Lord do? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, not some of them, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, not some of the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. In verse 44, the Lord tells them, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then he says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And I fear that I'm not getting this across, and it's not making sense out of my mouth the way it is in my heart, but just sitting down and writing these things out slowly, I was overwhelmed last night with that the Lord would lay aside all his glory and lay aside his kingdom, lay aside everything that he had rightfully to accomplish all these things. I was absolutely blown away by it. How many times he says over and over and over and over again, how many times he says that he just told them, I have to suffer. You know I have to suffer. This needs to happen first. It was an incredible blessing. Again, this point of him being king and being crucified for us. In Matthew 27:37, we find out he was born the king. You know what? He didn't die anything else and anybody else but the king. The king died that day. That's what happened. Matthew 27:37, and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And how bizarre is that? Like, how bizarre, what is the King doing up on a cross? What is the King of all the earth, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, and the one in whom his right is to reign as his Father gave him the right to reign? Like, what is he doing up on a cross? And he's up on that cross. He's up on that cross for us. If you can turn to Revelation 19. As I was going over these verses and getting them in my heart, I just noticed so many contrasts here with the Lord coming back and with, you know, his first advent. In Revelation 19:11, it says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. You know, and then when his disciples asked, Lord, should we command that fire come down from heaven? He rebukes them and says, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. And, you know, here he comes to, in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. And, you know, in the Gospels, he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But there's such a contrast And in verse 12 it says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And we know that the Lord, they plaited a crown of thorns for him while he was here the first time. In Mark 15:17, they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." So he took this mocking, even though this was true in Revelation 19:12. He accepted that crown of thorns. Verse 13 is, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." In verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." So here in this verse in Revelation, you see that the armies of heaven are following him. In the garden, you find out that his friends and everybody forsook him, that all men forsook him. And you see these contrasts here. In the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Put away the sword. Put it down. The cup that my Father gave me, shall I not drink it?" Here in Revelation 19:15, he's got the sword. He's got the sword. "Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." I'm trying to think if I I apologize for the everything, you know, the non-smooth delivery and the non-organized approach. I hope and pray that just the verses of Scripture were a blessing to your heart, and that those that the words would just get in there. And when you read, notice the nows and notice the alls when you're reading through that, and just like Pastor said, divide those things that, you know, now, and heresies come in there when they don't realize the timing and when they don't realize the other scriptures that are involved. The last little thing is that I know I said that the Lord Jesus, he didn't need anything, he didn't need to gain anything on this earth to put down all rule. Back in the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar said, "And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." And he called him the King of Heaven, called him the King of Kings and the Lord of Gods. So that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't need to gain anything or add anything to himself in order to rule and to reign that first time when he was born. You know, "This day was born the King of the Jews. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King." But there was one little thing that did stick out of my mind. Perhaps some type of might and some type of power that the Almighty Lord Jesus Christ did not possess that day when he was born in Bethlehem. And I know that's walking very close to the line of blasphemy. But if you turn to Matthew 28, I'll show you what my thought is. And the Lord Jesus Christ says something so strange here, because he's God Almighty. We find out that he's from everlasting to everlasting. We know that he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. the Almighty. But here in Matthew 28 in verse 18, after his resurrection from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ said something very strange. He said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." I mean, did he not have all power before that? I mean, did he not have power to raise the dead and to give sight to the blind and to walk on water and command the stormy seas? And we already know that he is the creator. He was the creator already. All things that were made, you know, they weren't made without him. And so what power was given to him after the Lord's resurrection that he didn't have before? And why does he say that? And just a couple thoughts on that are, and it's a very familiar verse, John chapter 1, we find out, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And we find out in Romans from the Apostle Paul that, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." So the Lord, in doing what he did by laying aside his crown and suffering and dying, he was able to be the just God and the Savior. He was able to be just and the justifier. He was able to be those things because of what he did, because he bought us with his own blood, because he paid for the sins of the world. So he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." And that was a blessing to me too. That maybe Pastor, you could shed some more light on that when you come in. I'm pretty much done. Again, my apologies, and it didn't come out the way I hoped or planned at all. But the verses are all there. I mean, despite me and the Lord doesn't change. So I just pray that the scriptures were a blessing to you. And that's it. I don't know how many, what were the three things? I wish I knew. I'll let you know when I find out. Okay. All right.
If you could shed some light on that.
I don't know that I can, but you know what? I'll get back to you on that one. I'm going to read the script. No, I'm just kidding. Well, before we look at that verse, that does bring up a lot of great things. I mean, great thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to earth as a king, right? The whole idea of him setting that aside is a really amazing truth. He didn't have to earn the right to be a king. He didn't have to prove himself in battle. He didn't have to overcome any, you know, he born a king. And I think, is it in Ezekiel? It says, concerning the fall of the kingdom of heaven in the Old Testament and the fall of, which king was it? The last of David's line. And then Ezekiel prophesied, saying, take off the diadem. I take off the diadem. I will overturn. I will overturn. I will overturn. It says, and this shall not be until he come, whose right it is. Whose right it is. And that, there was a rightful king. He hadn't come yet, but when he did come, even as a baby, he had the right to have reigned right there and right then and there. That's a good thought, brother. That's a blessing, just to see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he had to lay those things aside in order for the plan of salvation, the plan of redemption, to be carried out. He had to suffer those things before he could reign. It's just a great truth. So it wasn't the time yet. It wasn't the time yet. And you had two other reasons. Did you say them?
It wasn't the time yet that he kept saying, you know, but now my soul struggles. You know,
right. All right, it wasn't time yet. All the prophecies had to be fulfilled. What was the third one?
The third thing was just that in doing what he did, that he seems from Matthew 28:18 that he gained some type of power. I mean, it was still physical power that he did not possess from the foundation of the world.
Okay. That was your... Okay.
And the last one is that he gained the power...
Okay.
He could have physically saved Israel right there and then without even blinking an eye.
All power is given unto me. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Like he said, he didn't come to do his own will, but to fulfill the will of his Father. He didn't come to say the things that he felt like saying, but to say those things that had been commanded him of his Father. And in John chapter 17, when he prayed that he might, by going to the cross and fulfilling the will of his Father, he might enter back into that glory that he had with him before.